spend a few days, maybe one or two or three, in studying the offerings, and then we're going to go back to the stars.
Ooh,
yay!
Yes.
So,
check on you.
If you have any, I mean, the stars are really interesting, if I do say so. So, if you have any people you want to ask as a guest, this would be the time to do it. All right, Matthew, we're going to study, we're going to try to put in focus what this peace offering is and the offerings. So I want to just say a few words about the offerings in general. And then we'll go in specifically into the peace offering and its mysteries. Matthew 13, verse 34. I want each of you to follow it so you don't think anybody's making it up. Matthew 13, verse 34 and 35.
All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Okay. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I don't know about you, but when I read that, when I first saw that, and I first began to apprehend what that meant, it sent chills down my spine. Now, this is opposed to the natural man. And you don't have to go there, but it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. If you speak of the world, if you speak of how to solve problems, if you speak of this or that that you can discern with your senses, then you know it's not of God. It's of God, only that it's chaff. So the mystery of these offerings is huge, and there are the parables that are spoken of by Christ, the mysteries that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Okay, now it was said of Christ in John 7:46.
Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this.
Never a man spake like this. And each of us as believers must also be in that position, because as he is in the world, so are we. The moment, it's like you have to leave a system of thought, and you have to leave it behind, like divorcing it. And that system of thought is the thought of, and the response of the senses. You know, I had this big discussion with Harry over the weekend. I told him that his problem was systemic. It wasn't any issue. And this is what I'm talking about. You've got to leave the system of sensory thought behind you, divorce it, and move on to this mystery of the parables. Because sensory thought will always convince you you're a victim. Johnny? It's wait a minute. Psalm 111, verse 1 and 2.
Praise be the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. This leaf upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein.
The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. If you went to most places and started talking about the offerings, they'd turn your back on you. They have no interest. It's some arcane esoteric book that was for thousands of years ago. Again, for me, there is no more exciting book in the universe than the book of Leviticus. That sounds crazy. If you've ever read the book of Leviticus after the census, it just goes... All right. This is my favorite one of all.
Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law.
Open thou mine eyes, that I mayest behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now let's see if we can apprehend them. Amen. Open thou mine eyes. This is the prayer for each one of you. Open out thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The offerings are classed as the sin and trespass offerings are in one class, and then the burnt offerings are in another class. The burnt offerings are the burnt piece and the meal offering. And they are called a sweet savor unto God. They stand the trial of fire. Anything that you do that has any merit whatsoever must stand the test of fire. For our God is a consuming fire, and anything that doesn't stand the test of fire, you're a fool for giving any importance to. So therefore, that becomes the standard by which you look at your life. Is what you are doing, what you are giving importance to, will it stand the test of fire? Does it have the component of eternity in it? Or is it just some little thing that's done? You know, as I said so often, if you were in Russia, you'd be a good communist. If you're in India, you'd be a good, whatever they do in India. If you were in Arabia, you'd be a good Muslim. Just because, you got tired of yourself and you decided to believe in whether it's Allah or God or Jehovah or Yahweh or whatever you want to call it. But how do you know that you believe in Jesus? It's a big question. How do you know that if you weren't in India or Japan, that you wouldn't be believing in Buddha in the same way? Or if you were in Arabia, you wouldn't be worshiping Allah and kneeling down and five times a day bending toward Mecca. How do you know? You know that you know? There's only one way that you know that you know. As you lay down your life for the brethren. Herein is the love of God perceived. It's the only way we can see it. Herein is the love of God perceived. As he laid down his life, so ought you to lay down your life for the brethren. That's the only way we can see it. When you prefer someone else's interest over your own. Now, this isn't the amorphous brethren of being in public service. Because then you can romanticize the brethren. Have any of you ever done that? I'm giving my life for humanity. No, you're not. You're just stepping three steps backwards so you don't have to perceive what you're giving your life for. But get in a body and find out that you're giving your life for people that piss you off half the time, that meet none of your standards, that all they do is run around and expose your own hypocrisy. It's the only way you have of knowing whether or not you believe. Herein is the love of God perceived, that you lay down your life for the brethren. Now, In Leviticus, we see the work of Christ, the finished work of Christ. We see them being forgiven of all their sin. We see them being covered or transported out of all of their shame. I mean, we've talked about this before, but do you realize how many people in the world don't believe they have a right to exist? And so they have to keep their mouth running in order to convince themselves. You understand that? Because you at the core don't believe you have a right to be here. You believe you're eternally flawed, so you have to keep your the motor running to make everybody believe, including yourself, that you're okay. The sin offering covers that shame that has overpowered. Something's going on. My radar detector is going off.
Eddie, I'm thinking about Eddie. I didn't know that. It just hit me, and I just can't get him off my mind. It's really bothering me.
This is scary.
Huh?
This is scary.
Yeah, because he's been so long. I mean, it's just, I wouldn't.
Been so long what?
He's been clean.
How long? How long do you think he's been clean?
Well, probably 9 months, 2 months.
Do you realize how many times we've been through this with him? Do you realize how many times he's stolen everything around here and hocked it so he could go have a toot?
Nothing to do
with
what I got here, I guess.
What?
No, I mean, I know that he did it, but not recently.
Well, how do you find recent? Months or years?
Last 10 months. I don't know how it was before that, but I don't know. It does.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think it's like sincere?
What's sincere?
This concern?
Well, no. That's more surprise. I just didn't know. I just wanted to talk to him.
Okay, you remember I told you that the only way we can proceed from here is for everyone here to be in the same place at the same time? That if we're not in the same place at the same time, and you should leave. There's no reason to be in some other place at some other time. You understand?
Yeah.
You understand that the only way and the only thing you can do to benefit Eddie is to empty yourself? Tell me how you're thinking about him. What is it that's bothering you? What are you thinking about? How does that process work in your mind?
Just want to talk to him.
And what?
And what?
Yeah. What's going on when you say I've just been thinking about Eddie? What are you thinking about?
He's afraid that he's, you know, it's a big thing for him. It's that he wasn't in a position to. He was real worried about going out and working and that whole thing. Just that he's afraid.
Now you're just making stuff up. What were you thinking about? When you say you're thinking about Eddie, what are you thinking about? What is it that is more important than being here and now is what I'm trying to get at?
Nothing.
Do you want to go up and talk to Eddie?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, why don't you go up? Either be here or there. You can't be both.
Well, I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't.
Then why don't you say something?
Go interrupt this Bible study.
No, you're already interrupting this one by not being here. You think I'm being too hard on you?
No. I don't know what to do, though.
Say, Father, forgive me, and let's get the shit on the road. Get back to where you are instead of somewhere else. I can't tell you how much it drains me when I feel that. I mean, believe it or not, I can feel it. And it's like someone has taken I don't know what. It's like they're draining out all the energy out of me. I don't give a shit about anything in the universe except here and now, right now. There's nothing else going on. Anybody else want to be somewhere else? Anybody else got any sincere thing they're dealing with? I love sincerity. You got any sincere concerns, Harry? All right, let's get on back to the mystery. In Leviticus, we see the sin forgiven, the shame dealt with. We see him bringing us to a place of worship. We see him sometimes keeping us in fellowship. We see him restoring them when they fail or fall. And we see him providing all the sustenance that we'll ever need. Now that's the purpose of the book of Leviticus. Leviticus doesn't do you any good until you're a believer. You can't understand the book of Leviticus while you're still in the world. The book of Leviticus has to happen after you've made your exodus from the world. Peace. So each of the books of the Bible, it's a position that defines whether or not you apprehend it. Now, on the sweet savor offerings, which includes the burnt offering, the peace offering, and the meat offering, or meal offering. All of the sweet savor offerings, they're a sweet savor, as I said, because they stood the test of fire. Now, let's go down to the core here. Do you understand what that means? If something stands the test of fire, what about your life right now, today, stands the test of eternity, stands the test of fire? Think about it. What do you do? What consumes you on a daily basis that will withstand the test of fire? Does that mean anything to you, or is that just a concept?
Concept right now. So
I'm not sure what the test of fire is.
It's like going to the dump.
Is that what?
When it goes to the dump.
No, it's the only thing that stands that is eternal is something that will stand the test of being the hottest fire in the universe. What do you do on a day-to-day basis that will withstand the test of fire?
It's either fellowship or lack of fellowship. It's either being together or not being.
It's like say laying your life down for the brethren or some other shit.
How much of your day is consumed with you? If you're a Levite, how much of the day is supposed to be consumed with you?
Not much.
Zero. Can you imagine how easy your life would be, Harry, if you saw that there was no part of the day that was ever to be concerned with you? Do you understand how simple that would make your life? Well, guess what? When you said you were a Levite, that's what you agreed to. Now, the reason you're a Levite and the reason there's these different offices in the body is so not so that the Levites are any better than anybody else, but they provide a living picture of what faith is, of that thing which will stand the test of time to the rest of the people. Now, the problem we have with the Levites in this body is the Levites in this body are no different than Gentiles. They stand concerned with their own nature. And it's starting to make me furious. They stand concerned with their own future, with their own activities, with their own happiness, with their own sustenance. And then they wonder why there's no fulfillment, there's no peace. It's the Levite's job to teach the people what will stand the test of eternity? What will stand the test of fire? All the Levites so far have done is show them what won't stand the test of fire. You understand me? The Levites are to be a sign and a wonder for the body. The body is to be, and individuals are to be a sign and a wonder to the Gentiles. But you have to know what it looks like. You have to see something. Does that make you feel weird? It should. How can somebody... Just stop and think. Stop and think for a moment. Just take a slice of time and see what faith looks like. What does faith look like? It looks like, very simple, it looks like this moment and my acquisition of this moment, if you will, and my apprehension of this moment lets me know that there is nothing in the universe that's wrong with this moment. I don't have the capacity to think that the place I'm in should be any different than it is. You understand what that means? You've given up the right, which was never a right in the first place. It was a trap. It was a prison. You've given up the right to think that this moment should be any different than it is. Does that not convict anybody? All right. We're not getting anywhere on this one.
Well, it's just with that understanding, there would be no desire to project out into the future or to reach out into the air to try to conjure anything.
Remember what it says in Philippians, I have learned is the operative word here, that in whatsoever state I find myself, therewith to be content. I've learned how to be abased, I've learned how to abound, I've learned that in everywhere, in all things, to be content. A contentment has to do with sustenance and satisfaction. Paul couldn't have made that statement unless he had apprehended the peace offering. My goal in trying to teach you what the peace offering is, and that you might apprehend it, is so that you can make that statement with him. I have learned, in whatsoever state I find myself, therewith to be content. The only way you can understand that, the only way you can apprehend that, is to be apprehending his finished work. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of the game? My God in heaven, all of you are old enough to know. Has not it occurred to you that maybe your mind is never, I mean, you've always been told, you've always felt that if I can do this and if that would be different, it's never worked. Can't you see you're in the wrong battlefield? I have learned, in whatsoever state I find myself, therewith to be content. It's got to be seen. I have learned, in whatsoever state I find myself, therewith to be content, except when Barbara isn't acting like I think she should. I have learned, in whatsoever state I find myself, therewith to be content, except if I don't understand the scripture. I have learned, in whatsoever state I find myself, therewith to be content. You know, ad nauseam, I could fill in the blanks around here. What is it that has kept you from learning that? What is it that has kept you from knowing that? Is there something else that you need to do? Is there some California that you need to go to? Is there some nirvana that you need to visit? What is it? Oh, if I just understood, then I'd be content. No, you wouldn't. You just want to understand more. It's called spiritual greed. Why not, by faith, say, I will never leave that moment of contentment. I will never leave that moment of satisfaction and sustenance, and I will never leave it again in my life. You have every authority to do that. You have every weapon at hand to do that. I will never again give the right to my happiness to any other situation or circumstance or person. I will never again give the right to my happiness to Barbara. I will never again give the right to my happiness to Ole. I will never again give the right to my happiness to whether somebody pulls out in front of me or not. Can you hear me? Doesn't that sound appealing in some way? Or is there something you want to do? If there's something you want to do, let's talk about it. If there's something that you haven't yet experienced, let's talk about it. Maybe one of us here has already experienced it. You won't have to go through it. But that's what it means, that we must have all things in common so that you don't have to live to be 900 years old to find out what life is. That's what he's talking about.
I was listening to a thing on Discovery or something like that. They're talking about the mind and how, like, a 10-year-old child, from the influence of television, they have, by comparison, some astronomical 250 years worth of experiential stuff already.
It's the only reason God allowed television to be invented. So that you can see the futility of life. I mean, I don't want to go any farther here. I want to find out if there's any reason that you have. Is there any state of being that you can think of that would justify you not being in a state of contentment, satisfaction, and sustenance? Do you understand that's part of your inheritance? You have that. That's your right. And why would you leave that right? The slightest little impulse. Why would you leave it? Talk to me. Why would you leave that right because Mike doesn't meet some standard?
Well, I don't know about a slight impulse, but I mean, it's a fear of mine that might, the evil one pulls up and brings to me whenever it fucking feels good and ready to do it about something terrible happened to one of my kids or both of my kids. I mean, that's a...
What do you do with that?
Well, the moments of entertaining that thought are getting shorter and shorter, but it's I mean, right now I can say, you know, take it up with my father and fuck you. My kids are right here and they're fine, but I don't know that if something were to happen that I could stay content.
Okay, well, what could you do about it?
Nothing.
Then why not stay content?
Well, because I don't know that I would be able to control that. I mean, of course I would want to be able to see God in it and release the situation to God and be honest, but I don't know that I could, that I would.
Have we got anything else?
It just seems like it's like a lot of our other bad habits, which just every once in a while we go back and pick it up and give it importance. And it takes us a little while to realize it's a waste of time and go back.
Let me ask you this. What percentage of the day do you spend in the position of being content and satisfied versus what percent of the day do you spend in complaining, murmuring, or thinking about changing things?
What percent of the month or something?
My point is that for most of you, it's the rarest thing in the universe to stand for a moment in a state of appealing contentment. Right? happens, it's in the minority in terms of the amount of time in a 24-hour day. But your right is to, for it to be in the majority. You don't have any, there's no legal reason why you shouldn't live in that state of contentment. That's your inheritance. Now, can you remember that for 24 hours? Or is the next thing that's going to happen that somebody's going to look at you crosswise and you're going to be upset again? Or some worry is going to come into your mind and you're going to... The reason that you don't understand contentment and peace is because you think that you're left to your own devices.
As soon as that hits me, man, I'm gone. And it's, but what by just pure grace is that I can at least now, more often than not, I recognize that that symptom is there again. And it is. It's like you said, it's just a foul.
It seems so easy to see it in other people. It's boring and it's annoying.
Annoying is a good word.
But you can't see it, you don't see it in your room.
Right.
You what?
It's like, I guess that's the essence of egocentrism. I mean, if it's somebody else, I see it and I hate it, and it's just irritating. It's like, I have no patience. I mean, it's just, but if it's me, then that's not what it is. It's something else.
Somebody else.
No, it's, yeah, it could be that, but whatever it is, I'm right. It's not, you know, it's, well, you don't understand.
Okay,
it's not that other stuff. It's not that stuff you were talking about the other night. This is different.
I don't remember what was going on, but I remember I was getting out of the truck and I was becoming agitated. And then it dawned on me that God had not left me. And it was like it just went away. When I had given my thoughts to something. And I felt abandoned, and I was getting angst. And then I realized, I mean, it's just what you said, that forgetting. I had forgotten that God was there.
And that's all God wants in any situation.
Just see Him in it.
And once you see Him in it, if you find it unpleasant, then you've got another problem to deal with. I like, Father, forgive me. But once that happens, once that transaction of repentance occurs, then the reason for that being unpleasant to you in the first place has served its purpose. And it's not that, then you can be free of it. God will say, okay, that's enough. He'll stop spanking you. All of you have developed cliches in your mind and theologies that you don't think are cliches or theologies. You think they're solutions. But all of them are a way to change your state and place, to change the time and place that you're at any moment. You know, I mean, whether it's the stupidest stuff that we learned as kids, right? If you can't sleep, you count sheep. Well, think of the implications of that, of teaching somebody to do that. You teach them to be in a different place at a different time. And you think, and so your mind starts thinking this is good. You go to these religious places and they teach you to visualize. You go to other places and everything is against you. Everything is against being content. Do you understand me? And you'll find out that all of the stuff that teaches you how to get out of the state that you're in are only for the creme de la creme. They're only for the best of society. It doesn't work if you're a loser like me. And so where am I? I'm lost. I can't make those, I can't do those little tricks with my mind. I can't do the things to get me faked out. I can't do that. So I'm left here at my own devices. Unless there is a resurrection. And there is a resurrection. And therefore, I don't need any of that other bullshit. I don't need the games. I don't need the visualization. I don't need the counting sheep. I don't need the movies. I don't need the... Because I have the resurrection. And so every place at every time is Him. Now that's what the offerings teach us. That there's no situation that you can be in which He isn't there and He isn't providing you contentment and peace and satisfaction. Please hear me. Well, you don't understand. In my case, it's different because da-di-da-di-da-di-da, blah, 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 blah. Please hear me. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And to be content means to both have sustenance and satisfaction. I know how both to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But the moment you start being careful, you lose that. Everybody hear me?
It didn't dawn on me until you mentioned the deal that the county sheep, I mean, even coming here tonight, Paul was having a fit because he never talks about it. We're going to dinner now. You can have a popsicle in the bathtub tonight. To manipulate him, I never realized what I was doing.
That's the fire of Moloch. You're passing your kid through the fire of Moloch. It's the same fire as you went through.
It's cause and effect. Easy.
Huh?
To help you out, I mean,
it's survival.
Why don't you just give him Kitty Valium? It's the same thing.
We don't make it. Well, you know, we would all know about it.
What's bad is that to keep me from hurting, I would desensitize myself and think about whenever you feel that pressure, that hurt, I'd think about baseball or something fun so that I could always hear the pain, but you could never feel it.
Right. That's even worse. That's even more evil. We're not, what's that one? There's
but
a stupid song.
Kids
when I am worried and I can't sleep,
I count my blessings instead of sheep. I fall asleep, count my blessings.
It's the same damn thing. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll sit and count what I have. Consider the things that you have.
Good manipulation.
And not the things that you don't have. You know, I mean, all those little, they're all just mind bullshit to keep you from the resurrection. And you teach them to your kids with impunity. You think you're doing a good thing. I promise you, your kids are gonna have to confront somebody like me. What's so funny about that?
It's true.
I was hoping it would be.
Reality check.
What other little gimmicks do you have to sustain and protect yourself and to be in a different place at a different time?
Chemicals and drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff.
Cause an altered state.
Cake.
Cake is a good
reflective one. Metal. Let's not talk about cake tonight. Let's talk about it too.
Is this wait a minute.
You can't have your cake till you eat your dinner, Marie.
Yeah.
You don't eat your meat, you can't have your
Oh, we didn't get anything done tonight.